Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5. The Game, online to thegamenashville.com. He's the GM, Floyd Reese. I'm Jared Stillman, live today at our Bridgestone Arena Studios, inside a barrel house, outside of Section 111. Floyd, it is good to see you today. How are you?
I am outstanding.
Good. Big show today. Crispy is going to join us later today. The first time we get to talk to Crispy this season.
Missed Crispy.
Do you think Crispy missed us?
No.
I would agree. Ask the GM later today. Tons of stuff. Preds tonight taking on the Dallas Stars. 7 o'clock puck drop. That game right here. ESPN 102.5, the game. Okay. I have got, Floyd, I was listening today to all the different stuff about the Titans, and we've talked a lot about the Miami game and so on and so forth. And it's time to cut through the garbage. It's time to get to whatever the deal with Marcus is, with Marcus Mariota's hamstring. It's time to figure this out, because for the life of me, I don't know what's going on. I cannot figure it out. And just from a timeline standpoint, here's why I can't figure it out. Because the Titans originally listed Marcus after the Houston game as day-to-day. That was on October 2nd. Here we are today on October 12th. So 10 days later, Marcus has missed a game. He's practiced in some capacity every single day that he's been able to practice, every day that they've had practice. He's practiced in some capacity. And yet the coach is still kind of non-committal as to whether or not he might practice. This was the coach yesterday after, or might play on Monday night. This was the coach after practice yesterday.
What does he need to show you in order to feel comfortable with him being able to go?
He's got to be able to move around really pretty good to be able to play and not put himself in a position that he's going to re-injure himself. So, yeah, he's got to show that by the end of the week.
So this went from day to day to now not sure if he's going to be able to show what he needs to show by the end of the week. The quarterback, meanwhile, yesterday, Marcus came out and said that he absolutely thinks he's going to play on Monday Night Football. And I'm trying to figure out what is going on here. Are the Titans lying, and was he really not day-to-day? Or, I mean, what's going on here? Because it's the timeline of all of this does not add up.
Well, I mean, you're trying to read too much into it. You have to keep in mind two things. First of all, a player, a competitive guy, whoever he is, of which Marcus is one, if you go to him, you know, with a broken leg and say, do you think you can play this week? He's going to say, yeah, I think I'll be ready. I mean, so I think they have to weigh that. And the second thing is, the coach really isn't trying to tell you anything. I mean, he's not trying to be truthful and honest. He's not standing there saying, okay, it's really important that the whole world knows what kind of condition my quarterback's in. I'm the only one that needs to know. And that's kind of the way he feels. And that's why when you look, you see all these injury reports and you see people talking about injuries and all that kind of stuff. First of all, they have to be really, really careful because of, you know, all the different laws. They have to be careful they don't somehow, some way violate. And the second thing is, keep in mind, I mean, in the NFL, you know, secrets are the most important thing. And they are not going to tell you anything that they don't think you need to know. And if they can somehow, some way make it confusing or make it irritating or make it, you know, ambiguous, they're all for it.
Then if that's the case, then I almost have to speculate and we almost have to go to what we know to put it all together. Like, we have to make it add up and then decide what it actually is.
Well, the problem is you don't know anything.
Well, so here's what we do know. I mean, if we go through the whole timeline of this,
all right,
this is what we do know. For one, we do know that Marcus injured it on the touchdown run at Houston, right?
We believe so.
He dives to the end zone, and then you saw him, and you could see that he was
right
on the sidelines. Okay, we know that he injured it on the run at Houston. So then he goes back into the ballgame, throws an interception, goes to halftime, comes back out onto the field, then goes back in the locker room after the Texans score a touchdown to go up 3 scores. Mm-hmm. I still believe that Marcus was going to go back in the game if it was 2 scores. So Marcus goes back into the locker room, comes out of the game when it's 3 scores. Marcus then comes back out onto the field. Once again, this is against Houston. Comes back out onto the field and isn't with his hamstring iced up, was just wearing regular street clothes on the sideline.
Right.
You brought up the fact that if the hamstring was really that bad, it certainly would have been iced up, and he probably wouldn't have been hanging out on the sideline in street clothes if his hamstring was that bad during the Houston game, which was on October 1st, which was 11 days ago.
Right.
So 11 days ago, it wasn't bad enough for him to come out of the game immediately, wasn't bad enough for him to be carried off the field, wasn't bad enough that he got up and grabbed his hamstring as soon as he dove for the pylon, and wasn't bad enough for him not to come on out and hang out on the sideline. So then Marcus practiced 3 days last week, and Mike said the whole time that he was day-to-day. But right. Then he doesn't play against Miami.
Well, you don't know what does practice mean.
But he was limited all 3 days.
Yeah, I mean, if you go out there and go through individual and don't do anything else, I mean, they'll call that practice, but you're really not doing anything. You know, you may as well be in street clothes.
Then
so we just don't know those things.
So then, Marcus, we don't know if he practiced or not or how much he practiced, but the Titans were pretty mum about it, and they made it sound like he was going to be able to play on Sunday throughout the course of the week, and then it comes out that he's not going to be able to play in the wee hours of the morning on Sunday morning. Comes out that he's not going to be able to play. Then Mike says after the game that Marcus wasn't really all that close, and I'm trying to kind of add these things in my head, and I'm trying to figure out why this is that this quarterback is still injured and is still maybe not going to play Monday night. And the only thing I can come to is this, and this is total speculation, and I get it. I think the coach tried to keep him out of the Miami game because he thought he could steal it with Matt Cassel. He thought he could win that game with Matt Cassel. And so even if Marcus was 75 or 80% or even 90%, he says, you know what? The Dolphins are so lousy and that offense is so bad that I can go out there with Matty Cassel. We can run the football, make that one big throw to Delanie Walker, and my defense should be good enough to win the game. So I'm going to try to steal this game with Matt Cassel. It didn't work. And so everyone got mad about Matt Cassel after the fact, but the truth is I think Marcus is fine. There's no way that he could have been day-to-day 11 days ago or gone back into game 11 days ago and is still hurt to the point that he can't play on Monday night. There's no way. That doesn't add up.
Well, again, I mean, you're speculating on a lot of things there.
Well, we can't trust what he says.
Yeah, we don't know if he's really practiced at all. I mean, we don't know if all he's doing is going out there and going through individual and then going and standing watching team, watching 7-on-7, all that kind of stuff. I mean, he may not have thrown a ball. I mean, again, I have no clue if he has or he hasn't. That's all speculation on my part. But, you know, the point being that if you go out there and you go through individual and then after that, they have some kind of group drills, like a one-on-one session or something. And he throws one ball in one-on-one. I mean, is that any better? Well, got a little bit better today. Yeah, went from zero to one ball.
Well, they're not going to tell us what's happening in practice, so we have to ignore it.
Yeah.
So we have to only focus on what we do know, things like, you know, he came back into the ball game after originally injuring it, or he didn't grab his hamstring as soon as he did injure it, or little things like that. Like, remember when Corey Davis got hurt and you said you saw it on the play? You saw him pull up and knew that his hamstring was hurt? You didn't see that with Marcus, did you?
No.
When he ran for the touchdown?
In Marcus's defense, he was laying down, you know, which is hard. It's hard to see. When Davis did his, he was running out of bounds.
Then the other thing that got to me was Marcus doesn't say a lot when he talks to the media. And I actually like that. Like, if you're a fan of the team, that's a good thing that Cam Newton and Richard Sherman aren't your quarterback. You know, they host a talk show every time they go to the podium. But Marcus said something yesterday that I think really caught my attention. This was Marcus yesterday after practice.
I was able to participate in a good amount of practice. I wasn't able to do everything. But being able just to be, again, out here with the guys, doing some stuff, was big.
What were you able to do?
Typical, just going through the drills, you know, pretty similar to last week.
Feel good about your chances of playing Monday night?
Absolutely.
Bingo, absolutely. First answer, nothing. Second answer, nothing. Third answer, feel good about your chances to play? Absolutely. I'm telling you, he's fine. I mean, The Titans, this is why I believe Mike Mularkey held him out Sunday, because Mike thought he could win with Matt Castle.
Yeah, I don't buy that.
But Mike thought he could get away with it. And he's right. Mike is right. He could have won that game with Matt Castle at quarterback.
Yeah, but, I mean, you're not going to run that risk. I mean, you're going into an NFL game, and I don't care what people think about the teams. Anytime you go out on that field, you got a chance of getting beat. And if you don't go out there full speed, full force, ready to go, you're going to get it handed to you.
See, this coach, though, is very cautious. And the one thing I'm starting to notice about him is he's very cautious. He's got this, I want to act like I'm aggressive kind of thing, but I'm really not. He's like kind of turning into North Turner right now, who, you know, stays on 16 in blackjack. Mike is starting to be that way. I'm starting to notice that. I'm starting to notice, you know, hey, well, we want to make sure we keep Corey Davis out so that, you know, we don't lose him for the season. And now he's been gone for the season, basically. I'm starting to notice this, Floyd, with this coach. He's very cautious.
Well, you have to keep in mind now that the coaches make very, very few medical decisions. He's not a doctor. He doesn't. So every decision you make when it comes to a guy like Marcus, let's say, you're going through the doctors, you're going through the trainers, you're going through the strength coach, you're going through the position coach, you're going through all of those guys before you make a decision, because you just don't know.
I think Mike's the one who made this call. So we're going to open up the phones. That's how we're going to start on Marcus. I don't think Marcus is that hurt. I think Marcus could have played on Sunday against the Dolphins. That's my theory, and I'm sticking to it. If we can't believe the coach at face value, then we have to come up with our own conclusion. And that's the conclusion I'm coming up with. 615-737-1025. Your thoughts on Marcus and his injury. 615-737-1025. GM, we'll get your speculation on the other side. Plus something that's really starting to irritate me, that Mike said after the game on Sunday that now is really starting to bother me. We'll get to that. 615-737-1025. We are live today at Bridgestone Arena, where the Preds take on the Dallas Stars tonight at 7 o'clock. Puck drop, of course, pregame at 6 right here, ESPN 1025 The Game. Hey, make your picks for our Pro Football Pick'em Contest. You have a chance to win awesome prizes, including a trip for two to Hawaii, brought to you by Computer and Communications Innovations in Nashville. Sign up and pick now at thegamenashville.com. It's Jaron the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
You can listen to the NFL Network, or you can listen to me. When I say day-to-day, I'm going to tell you what like it is.
How do you feel about his chances to play next Monday?
I feel better about that one than this one. I mean, I've held out hope, but I feel better about that one.
That was Mike Mularkey on Sunday after the game talking about Marcus's injury. Mike, I guess, got really mad about Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, saying out 2 to 4 weeks. So Mike's not going to tell us anything. We're live at Bridgestone Arena, Jared and the GM. Mike's not going to tell us anything. Fair?
Fair.
Okay, so here's my take. If you're not going to tell us the truth, which he's not telling us the truth, if you said day-to-day on October 2nd and it's October 12th, and he's still out, and he might be out for the game. When is the game Monday? Was it the 16th?
16th,
17th?
Yeah,
and he might be out on the 16th, 14 days later, 15 days later. That's not day-to-day, Mike. And so I'm fine with Mike not telling the truth. I got no problem with it. But then don't get mad at people who listen to reports or speculate. This is the timeline that I just am having a hard time with. Day-to-day on October 2nd, then it was not close on Sunday after they chose not to play him. Then it was don't listen to the NFL Network that said 2 to 4 weeks. Now it's he might not play. Monday would be 2 weeks in one day. So if Marcus doesn't play on Monday, then the NFL Network's right. And we should have listened to the NFL Network.
Right.
And we shouldn't have listened to Mike. So my speculation is Marcus is not that dinged up, and that Mike tried to save him and tried to get away with playing Matt Castle on Sunday and win that football game, and it blew up in their face. And so I think Marcus is going to play on Monday. That's my speculation, since the coach and the team won't tell us the truth. What's your speculation on all of this? Your educated opinion.
I don't speculate. I'll say this. I mean, I'm going to guess that he'll play on Monday night. That would be 2 weeks. And, you know, that makes sense to me.
But you're not allowed to listen to the report, according to Mike. You're not supposed to listen to NFL Network.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's the same thing. I mean, you can decide, you can listen to anybody you want. It's just a matter of, you know, if you're listening to get some kind of good information or some kind of bad information.
How is it bad information, though, if NFL Network's right and it is 2 weeks? They said 2 to 4 weeks.
Yeah, but, I mean, you would say that with any of them. If you pulled a hamstring today, I'd say you'll be ready to go in 2 to 4 weeks.
Okay, and if we said that about Corey Davis, we would be wrong because apparently he keeps missing games.
That's exactly right. But you would have been right with DeMarco. You would have been right
No,
with...
DeMarco didn't miss 2 weeks. DeMarco didn't miss a game.
No, I'm talking about after he came back and injured it. He injured it the first time and sat out and then came back and played a little bit and redid whatever it was, and it was another, whatever it was, 10 days or something before he really did much.
Oh, yeah, in training camp. Yeah. No, that was the first injury, was the one in training camp.
Yeah, he injured it.
And he injured it when you were in Turks. Then you came back, and he was still injured. Then he got into the preseason. Then he injured it again against Jacksonville, but he played the next week against Seattle.
I thought he injured again in camp.
No.
Just the once?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
But then that goes back to it about how much the Titans told us DeMarco was hurt the whole week, and then DeMarco goes out the next week against the Seahawks and busts off a 75-yard run. So the Titans are clearly not telling the truth on any of this, so I can't listen to them. So if the coach, if I can't listen to the coach, and the coach is saying don't listen to NFL Network, and NFL Network's getting it right.
Well, he didn't say don't. He said it's up to you. If you want to listen to NFL Network, listen.
Then I'm advocating that everybody listen to those people.
There we go.
Because I'm also trying to figure out where the information's coming from. If Mike is upset, if Ian Rappaport of NFL Network is coming out and saying 2 to 4 weeks, and then Mike is getting mad about that report, well, then we know that it didn't come from the Titans to get to Ian Rappaport.
See, I don't think that's – he's not getting mad. I think he's just making a point, which is if I say it's day-to-day, this is – I'm talking for Mike. If I say it's day-to-day and you want to know – is he going to be ready Sunday? And I say, I don't know. And you say, well, according to Ian Rappaport, well, you know what? If you want to listen to Ian, listen to Ian. I have absolutely no problem with that. I mean, again, I think we're getting misconstrued here with what's actually going on.
Because the coach keeps lying to us.
The coach is not going to tell you the truth. The coach doesn't want to tell you the truth. He doesn't. That's not his job. His job is to give you some kind of, it's like, is he doubtful? Is he questionable? Is he probable? Well, what do those terms mean?
I mean, you can pick anyone
and then,
you want.
Yeah, and that's what, you know, that's why we were all questionable.
I stand by my original theory that Marcus could have played Sunday, but maybe he was 70 to 80%, and Mike thought against the crummy Dolphins he could get away with playing Matt Castle. And in all fairness, If the Delanie Walker touchdown counts and the fumble that wasn't really a fumble gets returned, that doesn't happen. If there aren't two just kooky off-the-wall plays, Mike's right. They're good enough to beat the Dolphins. They should have beat the Dolphins even with Matty Castle.
Yeah, but I don't – I mean, Mike wouldn't run that risk.
I think he is.
If he thought, in fact, Marcus could play. Now, could Marcus have played and not gotten hurt is another question. Because that's the risk you want, run.
What's Bill Belichick say?
And so I think, what do you mean?
Can't play football scared.
Yeah, but you can't play football stupid either. I mean, when you're messing with a hamstring.
Let's go to the phone. 615-737-1025 live out at Bridgestone Arena. James is going to kick us off today on Jared and the GM. What's up, James?
Thanks, gentlemen, for taking my call. Love the show.
Thank you.
Throw my 2 cents in. Actually, Jared, in his theory, I think is actually spot on. Going into the Miami game, I really felt that if it had been, you know, maybe in a more important division game, you know, or playoff game, I think Marcus could have gone, whether he was 85%, 90%. Because if you think about it, really, like Jared said, it really wasn't that big of a gamble for Mularkey to take to, you know, hold him out for the Miami Dolphin game because, you know, all intents and purposes, they should have won that game. So in my mind, it really wasn't that big a gamble to hold Marcus out. And, you know, it may have been the smart thing to do, but I agree with Jerry. I think you're exactly right.
Thank you for the call, James. And I'll say this, too. As far as Mike's concerned, I mean, Mike probably looks at it the way that I look at it. Unless everything absolutely goes wrong, Matt Cassel is good enough to beat the Miami Dolphins. He is. It's just that everything happened to go wrong on Sunday. They got away from the game plan. Jay Cutler threw a touchdown pass, which nobody was expecting. They had a touchdown called off the board. They didn't really fumble a ball. The ref said that they did fumble. I mean, when you add it all up, I mean, absolutely everything had to go wrong for them to lose, and it did. But Mike didn't probably approach the game thinking everything was going to go wrong. I guarantee you Mike thought they could win that game with Matt Cassel. Let me ask you this. Do you think if they play the Dolphins again this week with Matt Cassel at quarterback, do you think they could win?
Say again?
If they were to play the Dolphins again, Matt Cassel at quarterback, do you think the Titans could win?
Could win?
Yes.
Yeah.
See, I do too. And I think Mike thought going into the game, we can win with Matt Cassel. So instead of playing Marcus at 80%, I know it's early in the season. I don't want Marcus to miss 5-6 weeks. I'm going to go ahead and put Marcus on the bench this 1 week, play with Matt Cassel, who I think I can win with, try to win this game, and then bring Marcus back for 2 games, and he should be fine going into the bye.
Right, but that's different than saying Marcus is able to play, and I know that, but I'm not going to play him because I think we can win with Cassel.
Well, define what able to play means.
Able to play. Able to go out and perform.
See, I think Marcus was able to play.
No.
He just wasn't able to play at 100%.
I don't believe, well, I mean, able to play means, what do I always say about injuries? The key to injury is not playing with the injury. The key to an injury is playing the way you always play with an injury. Mm-hmm. And that's what you have to do. So if you can play the way you always play with that injury, then you should play.
We'll take more of your calls in on this, 615-737-1025. And I love some of the comments in the comment boxes on the phones. 615-737-1025, live out of Bridgestone Arena. It's Jared the GM. Do not miss the 2017 Nashville Whiskey Festival presented by the Midtown Cork Dorks Wine, Spirits, and Beer. The festival is at the Omni Nashville Hotel, Saturday, October 14th, 6:30 to 10:30. For more information, visit NashvilleWhiskeyFestival.com. It's Jared the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
I was able to participate in a good amount of practice. I wasn't able to do everything. But being able just to be, again, out here with the guys, doing some stuff was big.
What were you able to do?
Typical, just going through the drills. You know, pretty similar to last week.
Feel good about your chances of playing Monday night?
Absolutely.
Absolutely, says Marcus Mariota. Welcome back to the show, live out at Bridgestone Arena. Robbie Stanley covers the Preds for NHL.com. will join us in a little bit. And I've got a Preds thought I want to get to. But I told you guys, my speculation is that the Titans held Marcus out on purpose because they you know, maybe 75, 80%. They wanted him to be maybe 90 to 95%. And they thought they could skate by the Dolphins with Matt Cassel at quarterback. Floyd has, as always, chuckled and not really dove into the pond on this one.
No, I've told you exactly what I think. I mean, there is absolutely no coach in the NFL that would keep your starting quarterback out of a game if you thought he could play. No coach.
I'm telling you.
In the history.
I'm telling you.
Of the league.
I am telling you.
Has ever kept their star quarterback out of a game.
I think Marcus, you know, Marcus is 75%. So instead of saying, you know what, instead of having Marcus run away from Cameron Wake the whole time, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to keep him on the bench this week, win the game with Matt Cassel, and then play him against the Colts, and maybe even sit him out against the Browns too, because they should be able to win that game with Matt Cassel, and then go into the bye, and Marcus will be healthy. I'm telling you, that's what I think this coach is doing, and since we can't trust anything he says, we just have to go by what our hearts tell us. Let's go to the callers. We have some great comments in the comment box. Joe, please start us off here, this segment. What's up, Joe?
First of all, GM, I'm going to send you a bottle of Fireball whiskey so you can deal with Jared every day. You're going to need one.
Amen.
It's an old saying, you can't let your right hand know what your left one's doing. Malarkey can't get up and tell you that, you know, he's going to play as quarterback. He's got to keep the coach thinking. He's going to play Monday. We're going to have a good game. We're going to end this streak Monday. I think you just need to calm down and just relax.
I did not say that Marcus was not going to play on Monday. In fact, I have said nothing to the contrary. I thought Marcus was going to play on Sunday. Thank you for the call, Joe. I thought Marcus was going to play on Sunday because I still can't get out of my head the fact that he went back in the game against the Texans. If he's so hurt that he can't play 2 weeks after he gets hurt, how did he go back in the game?
I have no idea. I mean, he didn't do anything, but I mean,
hey, he threw a pass. It could have been a really bad interception.
And that, I think that's why he came back out. He realized he couldn't do anything.
See, but then why did he come back out at the start of halftime? Marcus went back to the locker room after the Texans scored. The Texans scored a touchdown to go up 3 touchdowns in the second half.
In the third quarter.
Right.
Yeah.
Marcus then went back to the locker room. I think had the Titans got a 3-and-out of the Texans and they punted to the Titans, Marcus goes back into the game to play quarterback. How? If he's so hurt that he can't play a division game against the Colts 2 weeks later, how does that happen?
How do you think anybody in the organization benefits by not playing Marcus if he can play?
Because what you're doing is you're making sure that he gets back to either full health or optimum health or whatever.
Well, then he can't play.
Okay, but Steve McNair played through injuries, and then sometimes Steve McNair didn't play. But most of the time, Steve played. But once you...
Right.
But there were some games where, you know what, Steve didn't play this week because he'll be better next week and he'll go out. Marcus, same right. way. That's what they're doing with Marcus. They looked at this and they said, okay.
Now, it's one of two ways. Either he can play and he goes in the game or he played, or he doesn't play and he sits out. But you don't take a guy that can play and call him injured and sit him out. That's my point.
That's not true.
Okay. Who does that?
Okay. See, this goes back to the thing about the Tim Hasselbeck quote from yesterday when Tim Hasselbeck told 3D that Eli Manning played a whole season with a fractured foot.
Again.
There's a lot of guys that can't play with that, but Eli
he can.
Did.
Exactly. And if anybody, whoever you are, quarterback, if you have an injury that you can play with, the coach is going to put you in there to play. Even a broken foot. If you can't play with a hangnail and you get a hangnail, then the coach is not going to put you in the game.
So you put this on Marcus and not on Mike.
Mike's decision comes after he talks to about 15 different people. Mike doesn't wake up in the morning and say, okay, I'm going to get Marcus out there today. It's not his decision. He's got to go through the doctor. He's got to go through the trainers. He's got to go through Marcus. He's got to go through the coaches. He's got to go through all of those people before he makes his decision.
But Marcus said he's doing the same things that he did last week.
Which is not a good sign, by the way.
And he said, when asked if he thinks he'll be ready to play Monday, absolutely.
Yes. So isn't that a little contradictory right there? You're doing the same thing you did last week when you couldn't play?
Because he could play and the coach held him out.
No.
Yes. No. This is it. You go back to that consultation. Mike is sitting there. Everybody's in the room. Mike, John, trainers, doctors, Marcus, everybody. And here's the thing. They said, okay, look, that hamstring is still a little tender. It's still a little sore. It's still a little day-to-day. If you take this week off, next week you should be good to go. But if you play this week, you don't know. And Mike's sitting there with the doctors and the trainers and everybody saying that in the room. Marcus is probably saying, Coach, I think I'm good enough to go, but it's still a little sore. It's still a little yada yada. And Mike's thinking, you know what? I can skate by against this terrible Dolphins team, which I think we can all go around the room and admit the Dolphins are terrible. I can get through this with this terrible Dolphins team. Marcus will be much closer to full health with an extra week of rest. And he'll be good to go for the rest of the season. So that's what I'm trying to do. That I'm convinced that's what happened. It's just like
You are the best I have ever been around. You can talk yourself into or out of.
You're chuckling stuff. Like nobody Mr. Chuckles
even,
over there.
Nobody else is even talking but you.
No.
And the more you talk, the more convinced you become. Just like you could talk your way out of things. You'll start off with, well, I think this is the way it ought to be. And then we start talking, and then you start talking a little bit more, And pretty soon you go, you know, maybe that's not the way it should be.
That means I'm open-minded.
Oh, well, is that it?
See, I go back to a pitcher in the baseball playoffs, right? Like, you know, can he go on 3 days rest? Well, he's not as good on 3 days rest. So maybe we're better off with him pitching on regular rest. But it is the playoffs, and it is an elimination game, so we're going to bring him out there on 3 days rest. Same thing with Marcus and his hamstring. I'm convinced of it. I'm not talking myself in or out of this one. I am convinced that this is what it is. But once again, we can't trust what the coach says because the coach just doesn't tell the truth. Day to day, 10 days ago. And then what's it, Corey Davis? When's he coming back? So,
I don't know.
That's my take on that.
Got to ask the coach.
Oh, yeah. Brett's take on the Dallas Stars. Stop that. Brett's take on the Dallas Stars tonight at 7 o'clock right here at Bridgestone Arena, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Before we get to Robbie, I've got one take on the Dallas Stars, and it's not a big take, but they went out this offseason. You know, 2 years ago, they were the best team in the Central Division and then got beat in the first round of the playoffs, which is never – well, no, second round of the playoffs, which is never what you want to do. But then last year, they were crummy, and they fired the coach, and they went out and hired the old coach that had coached before. But if you look at their roster, they have way better players than the Predators. I mean, they've got Tyler Seguin. He's an all-star. They've got Jamie Benn. He's an all-star. They've got Martin Hansel, who's a good player. They've got Mark Mathot, who I would have given anything for the Predators to get in the offseason when Ottawa put him out there for Vegas to get. They got all these good players. Ben Bishop, wasn't he in the Stanley Cup final 2-3 years ago? They got Ben Bishop as their new goalie. And yet I have no respect for them. You know, everyone said, oh, no, Dallas this offseason, watch out for Dallas. Watch out for Dallas, GM. They made all these big moves, and they...
They're getting ready.
Whatever. They'll make the playoffs. They'll lose in the first or second round, and nobody will ever think of Dallas again. Chicago, I got a lot of respect for Chicago. Winnipeg, I got a lot of respect for Winnipeg. Watch out for Winnipeg. Minnesota's got a lot of great players. Their coach is kind of a bum. But you look at Dallas, all these great players, no respect. So I'm expecting the Preds to win tonight. Robbie Stanley, NHL.com, covers the Preds. He will join us live here at Bridgestone Arena coming up next, plus some other big-time thoughts we'll get to. It's Jared and the GM right here at ESPN 102.5 The Game. Join us as for the Light the Night Walk at Nissan Stadium Friday, October 20th. You could be the difference in saving a life by being a part of the 2017 Light the Night Walk. For more details and to be a part of the event or to contribute to the ESPN 102.5 The Game team, visit thegamenashville.com. Jared and the GM live out at Bridgestone Arena. We got to throw this song out of the mix of songs we come back. It's too depressing.
What is it?
I don't know. But it makes me sad. It's too depressing. So, especially with the Preds.
Upbeat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like the song that they play at every bar in Demumbrian Street. You know, the get in there. Yeah, yeah. Get in there. Yeah, yeah. Get in there. You know, they play that every single bar. Okay, so the Preds take on the Dallas Stars tonight, 7 o'clock right here, Bridgestone Arena. Robbie Stanley, NHL.com, here with us that covers the Preds. So, we had Hal Gill on the show the other day, and I know they're 3 games into the season. But I said to Hal, I said, I'm not worried. You know, I know they looked like garbage against Boston and Pittsburgh, but I'm not worried. And then, they played Philadelphia. They go up 3-0, feeling pretty good. Okay, they decide to play hard today, everything's going to be fine. And then they give up 5 unanswered. And I sent Hal a text, and I said, I'm worried. Now I'm worried. I know it's 3 games into the season, but now I'm worried because they just gave up 5 unanswered goals. So then they come back to win, thanks in large part to the Philadelphia coach not knowing the rules. And I'm still worried. Should I be worried? Is it too early to be worried? Why am I worried? I mean, what should the fans be? Because remember, the Predators have a lot of new fans that this time last year didn't care about the Predators. And now, because of the playoff run and everything last year, they're diehard fans. So here we are at the beginning of the season, Robbie. Tell the fans how they should feel about this team.
Well, I think there's definitely some concern, not panic, but concern that you should have for this team. And the reason I say that is because basically when you take a look at this roster right now, there's no Ryan Ellis until January. You were already able to see his absence kind of manifest itself through the first 2 games. Defensively, they're still trying to figure a lot of things out right now. And then you lose Roman Josi last game. And like you said, they start off really well. They're up 3-0, seem to be playing really well, clicking on all cylinders. And then defensively, they just go in the tank. Now, it didn't help that they took 6 penalties in a row and spent basically the entire second period and part of the third on the penalty kill. That's going to get you burned every single time. But there's no question defensively, when you take a look at how it's gone so far, you've given up 4 goals in the first game, and now one of them was an empty net. 4 goals in the second game, and then 5 a game ago. So, I mean, your goals against average is not great right now. You've got to figure out a way to really lock down defensively. That's supposed to be the strength of this team, and it's difficult when you're missing 2 guys in your top 4, who everybody talks about is probably the best top 4 in the league. You've got a whole lot of pieces you got to move around now to try to figure out who can play with who and figure out those defensive pieces. It reminds me a lot of how they started last year, because you had Subban hurt, you had Yossi missing time, you had Ellis missing some time, and they were never really able to get together and gel until January, February, and that's a little bit of what I see right now as well.
But wasn't that the whole thing was last year we dug ourselves in such a deep hole that we promised we won't do that next year, and now we're sitting here and the Predators are looking not like the Predators through the first 3 games, and you're kind of going back to I don't want to say excuses, but the reasons that they were that way last year?
Yeah, I mean, there's no question. And we talked all training camp long to these guys about getting off to a hot start, how they learned last year that they wanted to have home ice advantage in not only the first round of the playoffs, but as far through the playoffs as they could get. And you watch those first 2 games. Now, granted, they're against 2 pretty good teams, but you watch those 2 first games, and especially the game in Boston, there was just 0 speed there. They were late to every puck. They were losing the 50-50 battles. The effort level just wasn't very good, and that's something that surprised me right out of the gate. It got a little bit better in Pittsburgh until Pittsburgh went up 3-0, and then the wheels kind of fell off. Effort was fine in the first half of the game, last game, and then fell off a cliff again in the second period. So in my estimation, they haven't put together a 60-minute game yet full of effort, which is something that I'm concerned about, because if you're a team that's dedicated and really focusing on getting that home ice advantage in the Central Division that you know is going to be tougher this year than it was a year ago, effort level should not be a question. So I think they're getting better in that area. They got some new pieces they're working in the lineup, Nick Bonino and Scott Hartnell, a few guys on defense as well. But there's no question, I think the work ethic and that effort level has to get more consistent if this team's going to go anywhere.
Robbie, I heard this morning that this is the first time in the history of the franchise that they've given 4 or more goals up in the first 3 games. Jared and I have been talking recently. Is the scoring in the league going to be up? You know, it appears that might be the case with the slashing rules and the penalties. And is that maybe a trend that they're trying for and that it's working, or is that just us?
It's working right now. It's scoring's way up in the league right now through the first week and a half. So, I mean, there's no question. I mean, when you take a look at the scores around the league, I mean, we've had a 10-1 score. We've had 8-5. We've had 6-5 here the other night. I mean, scoring is definitely on the rise, and I think a big part of that is what you alluded to, the penalties and the slashing calls in particular that they placed a heavy emphasis on this year. I mean, a lot of teams are spending a whole bunch of time on the power play. And when you give those teams that much power play time, goals are going to follow. So, I mean, teams are going to adjust to it. I think when we get to the 20-25 game mark, you won't see as many penalties being called because teams will have adjusted to it by that point. We've seen things like this happen in the past. But there's no question, I think, in the first part of the season, scoring is going to be way up.
And I think it's interesting – with all those goals, I mean, I have yet to hear anybody be critical of Pekka.
Yeah.
I mean, you hear people saying he sounds like he's playing okay.
Yeah, I mean, the other night, for instance, I thought there was probably one goal that he should have stopped that he didn't. Other than that, I mean, you had Valtteri Filppula wide open in the slot. You've got a screen in front of the net. You've got Nolan Patrick scoring his first career NHL goal, and nobody's there to pick him up on the rebound. So there's not much he could have done other than one goal the other night, in my opinion, that would have caused criticism. So, I mean, you would like your goaltender to steal some saves for you that he shouldn't make. And we've seen Pekka do that at times, especially last year in the playoffs. But the defense has just got to get better in front of him. I mean, they've got to learn to – I mean, one goal in Pittsburgh sticks out to me, Jake Gensel's goal. He was wide open in the slot. Pittsburgh had 4 shots at it. There were 4 Predators standing there, and nobody touched the puck or the body. I mean, that's something that's got to change.
Robbie Stanley's our guest. NHL.com covers the Preds. I don't even care if Pekka's not good during the season. I mean, I think Pekka's been fine. And I think that slashing rule is, you know, when we get to March, I don't think they're going to call it like they're calling it now. So when we get to the playoffs, I don't think they're going to call it like they're calling it now. I don't care if Pekka has a good season or not. He'll be fine. When you get to the playoffs, he'll be fine. And if he's not fine, you'll lose.
Right.
But I'm not worried about him. It's everybody else. That's who I'm looking at right now.
Yeah. I mean, when you just take a look at this team, the new pieces, I think, are going to come along and they're going to be fine. I already think Scott Hartnell's playing well. I liked what I saw from Nick Bonino the other night. But it's the other guys right now, that some of these younger guys that you're relying on, like Pontus Aaberg, you know, Craig Smith, who I thought played really well the other night.
He goes by Aaberg now.
Oh, yeah, Aaberg now. Excuse me. I've got to get used to that. but it's these little pieces. When you lose a guy like James Neal and you're wondering where the offense is going to come from, they're placing a lot of heavy expectations on Kevin Fiala and Aaberg, Craig Smith to have a bounce-back year. And so far we've seen flashes of that from those guys, but we haven't seen it on a consistent enough basis. And, five goals the other night is great. Philip Forsberg, I think, is going to have an absolutely monster year, and they're going to need him to, because other than that top line, I still have a lot of questions about where the offense is going to come from this team. I think Scott Hartnell's done really well. I think he's going to be a big part of this team, but I still have a lot of questions about these younger guys and how much offense they're going to be able to contribute.
Robbie, good to see you as always.
You
Robbie
too, fella.
Stanley, NHL.com. Of course, on the NHL Network the other day, you turned over to the TV behind us here at Bridgestone Arena. I saw Robbie up there on the screen, and I'm thinking, you know what I'm thinking? Why are they talking to him and why aren't they talking to me?
I mean, that's the question.
I mean, what a shocker that is.
If it makes you feel any better, they called me Rob Schneider before I went on. So,
you know what we really need to get? I think we need to get Floyd on the NHL Network.
Oh, yeah. That'd be great.
Former NFL general manager Floyd Reese joins us on the NHL Network. Floyd, what do you think about the Predators right now?
Yeah, that's right.
Just get me to the playoffs, baby.
That's pretty much what he would say. Robbie, good to see you. Robbie Stanley, as always. We are live again. The Preds take on the Dallas Stars tonight at 7 o'clock right here at Bridgestone Arena. Our coverage beginning at 6 with Preds pregame. Of course, Predators game day starting here on Jared and the GM at 5:45. But coming up next, this seems to be an epidemic with the Titans. And I'm starting to get a little worried. We'll get to that coming up next. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.